ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 9, Text 19, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Asuranam Sudhadanam Sarpanam Ivadurnayam Matva jati nrishaṃsānām Natāṃ vyabhaja dachyutah Asurānāṃ sudhādānam Sarpānāṃ eva durnayam Matva jati nrishaṃsānām Natāṃ vyabhaja dachyutah Demons are by nature crooked like snakes. Therefore, to distribute a share of the nectar to them was not at all feasible, since this would be as dangerous as supplying milk to a snake. Considering this, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who never falls down, did not deliver a share of nectar to the demons. Purport, it is said, Sarpa krura kala krura Sarpad krurarata kalaha. The snake is very crooked and envious, and so also is a person like a demon. Mantraushadhivasha sarpa kala kena nivaryate. One can bring a snake under control with mantras, herbs, and drugs, but an envious and crooked person cannot be brought under control by any means. Considering this logic, the Supreme Personality of Godhead thought it unwise to distribute nectar to the demon. Coming to the incident of the Supreme Personality of Godhead cheating the demons. Does God cheat? Yes. God is the biggest cheat. The biggest everything. He's the biggest cheat. Also, he's cheating at the topmost level of the universe, the biggest people in the universe, the most prominent and most powerful people in the universe. It's not the first time he's done it. He's quite expert in cheating, has a lot of practice, as Vamana Devi came. And no one could suspect such an innocent little boy to do such a nasty thing. Bali Maharaj had by his prowess, a kshatriya can do that. He can, if he defeats another kshatriya, takes the land. And then this Vamana comes and pretends to be a renounced Brahmin. So young and innocent looking, and he just took everything, and he didn't even have any gratefulness toward Bali, and just tied him up and threw him down into hell. So demons, they were very careful, and they don't want to get cheated again. They knew Vishnu. Whenever there's any problem and the demigods get into too much trouble, then they call Vishnu, and Vishnu comes, and he cheated us once. We're not going to get cheated again. So this time he took a female form. If he'd come again as the dwarf brahmana, that wouldn't have worked. So he took a female form, and you wouldn't think a very beautiful woman would cheat you. Actually, beautiful women, the whole idea of being a beautiful woman is to entice. But anyway, the demons have been described as foolish. Actually, they're very intelligent in so many ways. I was talking yesterday about civilization. To develop a civilization takes a lot of intelligence, but it's misplaced intelligence, and therefore it's called foolish. So although the demons are very intelligent in pursuing their aims are not at all intelligent, which is to enjoy sense gratification. So anyway, they can be cheated because they're cheating themselves. Natevidu swartha gating hi Vishnu. They don't want Matiana Krishna paratasvatova. They don't know the goal of life is Vishnu, and they don't want to know. So they're cheating themselves out of their own best self-interest. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the biggest cheat. And he's not even ashamed of it. He tells in Bhagavad Gita, Dyutam Chalayatam Asmi. Among gamblers, I am cheating. He doesn't try to hide it. He announces it to Arjuna and through Arjuna to the whole world. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, we find in the what is considered the topmost section of the Bhagavatam, the 10th canto. And within the 10th canto, what is considered the topmost section? The gopis dancing with Krishna. So we find in that section that the gopis, they call Krishna Kitavayoshita, cheater of women. Now, what could be worse than that? Gambling is full of cheating and rigging the dice and rigging the spots and this and that. That's some gambling. Anyone who goes in for gambling, they deserve to be cheated. But innocent young village women exploiting their sentiments just so you can enjoy them and then leave them. What could be worse in the whole world? But it's right there in the Bhagavatam, which is none different from Krishna. So Krishna is not only the biggest cheat and the worst cheat, but he makes it known. It's advertised. And people will criticize. You see what kind of a god you're with. These Hindus, they worship cows and plants and monkeys. And they worship this Krishna who's just some immoral kind of person. Actually, this is the highest theology, but people who don't understand it, they criticize. But actually, everyone in this world is cheating. Just like Srila Prabhupada explained once that Krishna has so many wives, but they're all his valid wives. But if anyone thinks I have one wife, then he's cheating, because everyone and everything belongs to Krishna. So if you think you're very moral, I'm very moral, I've got one wife, and Krishna is immoral because he has 16,108 wives. No, you are immoral, and Krishna is moral. But in the material world, everyone is cheating. That is one of the inherent factors in material life. In Brahm Pramad Vipralipsa Karana Patav. These are the four inherent defects in all conditioned souls. To make mistakes, to be illusioned, the cheating propensity, and having imperfect senses. Now, these words we know from Brahm Pramad Vipralipsa Karana Patav. This is stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And the second line of this verse is Ishvare Bhaka Nahi Dosheshab. These defects do not appear in the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He doesn't. What he says is not. It's free from the defects of mistakes, illusion, cheating propensity, and imperfect senses. In other words, this is being established that the words of the Vedas, there's no fault in that. But we find that he cheats, or here we have she cheats, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who would think that God is a woman? Well, the Shaktas, they do, but they're wrong. The Supreme Person is a supreme male. When we use these words, male and female, and any words that we use, our understanding of them is all imbued with our conditioned consciousness. But when we say Krishna is the supreme male, it's not a male of this world, it's not a female. These terms, they are, when applied to Krishna, they are devoid of any mundane overtones. It's very difficult for us to understand what it means that Krishna is the supreme male. We can theoretically understand he's the supreme enjoyer. But as long as our consciousness is covered by Brahm Pramad Vipralipsa Karana Patav, we can't actually understand or realize anything about spiritual life. So this idea, the supreme male, it's got nothing to do with male chauvinism or anti-feminism, nothing, no such thing. It's way, way above all these things. So there should be no cheating in God. That should be understood. But there is also, in this regard, I'm going to read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 13, Text 37, Srila Prabhupada's translation of Sanjay speaking, Sanjay, the secretary of Dhritarashtra, speaking to Yudhishthira Maharaj about the departure from the palace, the clandestine departure from the palace of Dhritarashtra and Vidura, along with Gandhari. So Sanjay said, "My dear descendant of the Kuru dynasty, I have no information of the determination of your two uncles and Gandhari. O king, I have been cheated by those great souls." Great souls. Mahatma. Mahatma doesn't cheat anyone. Mahatma Gandhi, he is improperly, according to Shastric understanding, been given that name, title, Mahatma, because it's considered that he's a very saintly person. So we don't expect saintly people to act in such a low way. Cheating seems to be something for very low class people to do. We don't expect Mahatmas to cheat others. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that great souls cheat others may be astonishing to know, but it is a fact that great souls cheat others for a great cause. It is said that Lord Krishna also advised Yudhishthira to tell a lie before Drona Acharya, and it was also for a great cause. The Lord wanted it, and therefore it was a great cause. Satisfaction of the Lord is the criterion of what is bona fide, and the highest perfection of life is to satisfy the Lord by one's occupational duty. That is the verdict of Gita and Bhagavatam, Dhritarashtra and Vidura, followed by Gandhari, did not disclose their determination to Sanjaya. Although he was constantly with Dhritarashtra as his personal assistant, Sanjaya never thought that Dhritarashtra could perform any act without consulting him. But Dhritarashtra's going away from home was so confidential that it could not be disclosed even to Sanjaya. Sanatana Goswami also cheated the keeper of the prison house while going away to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And similarly, Raghunath Das Goswami also cheated his priest and left home for good to satisfy the Lord. To satisfy the Lord, anything is good, for it is in relation with the Absolute Truth. We also had the same opportunity to cheat the family members and leave home to engage in the service of Srimad Bhagavatam. Such cheating was necessary for a great cause, and there is no loss for any party in such transcendental fraud. And there are other examples. Bali Maharaj being cheated by Vamana, I've mentioned. Vasudev, who was trusted by Kamsa for his good word, cheated him by taking Krishna away and substituting Krishna with a baby girl. There are many such examples. So this seems to be a very dangerous teaching, that the end justifies the means. You can do anything for Krishna. You can lie, you can cheat, you can steal, you can kill. Yeah. God cheats, this under this guy. He cheats and his devotees cheat. And materialistic people also cheat. It's intrinsic to material life. Vipralipsa, the cheating propensity. Is there any, then what's the difference? Why worship God if he's just like us? He cheats and we cheat, but he's not just like us. And why should we think that saintly people are saintly if they also engage in such low-class activities as cheating? But there is a difference. When God cheats, great souls, here Srila Prabhupada writes, great souls cheat others for a great cause. And we can see in the verse under discussion that Mohini Murti was cheating the demons because they wanted to take the nectar and they would have misused the facilities that they got from drinking the nectar. The nectar would have given them immortality and tremendous strength and so on. And we see that whenever demons, they get such a boon, they misuse it. There are so many cases, Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, Vrikasura, Banasura. When they get some boon, they misuse it. And it would have been disastrous if the whole Jati Nrishang Samanam. Is it? Nrishang Sanam. If the whole jati, the whole clan of envious people who already were very powerful by their birth, if they were invested with immortality. So immortality in the material sense, just like the demigods, one name for the demigods is Amara. They don't die. They do die, but they don't die that often, so they're called undying. So yes, God cheats. Cheating is there. We should be able to trust religious people. Yes, we can trust religious people to do what is best for us. But from our own perspective, that might seem like cheating. And in this regard, I'm going to read from Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita about his Western disciples in India. Srila Prabhupada saw how often and how easily the Indians were able to cheat his disciples. Half of ISKCON's work in India was being spoiled, he said, due to his disciples being cheated. If they put on a pandal program, they might end up paying several times the standard cost. There was some pandal hired by Brahmananda, and he agreed on a price of 40,000. And in those days, nowadays you couldn't get a pandal for 40,000, not for a big program, but in those days the proper price should have been 2,000. And then Prabhupada had to personally fight with the pandal wallahs and then brought them down to 5,000 or something. And he was shouting, and they were shouting at him. Oh, here it is, yeah. Here it is. It's, no, it wasn't 2,000, it's 4,000. Here's the anecdote. It's written right here. Prabhupada was outraged that Brahmananda Swami had agreed to pay the contractors 40,000 rupees for the pandal construction. It was the same old thing, the foolish Western disciples getting cheated. Prabhupada refused to pay 4,000 rupees should be more than enough. When the contractors came to see him, he told them that he had little money and that they should be satisfied with 4,000 rupees. They protested, but Prabhupada became angry and insisted, "Accept it, you are making 500% profit." As soon as they see us, Prabhupada said later, they say, "These Americans, they have got money. Our work is going on in India, but as soon as money is being spent, 50% is being spoiled because you Americans are inexperienced. What can be done? The Indians want your money and they cheat like anything." Now, another anecdote concerning Srila Prabhupada in India with his Western disciples. Madhudvisha Das had been the president in Bombay ISKCON, but to Prabhupada he expressed his dissatisfaction, particularly in working with the Indians. He wanted another preaching field. He said that he considered the Indians to be very sneaky and tricky, and he didn't like dealing with them. Prabhupada said, "I am an Indian. Do you think I am very tricky?" "No, not you, Srila Prabhupada," said Madhudvisha. "Actually, I am tricky," said Srila Prabhupada, "because I have tricked you all into surrendering to Krishna, and now you are caught and you cannot get away." So we're very grateful that Prabhupada tricked us. He said, you chant Hare Krishna, and when you're tired, you take prasadam. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. So people said, it's very good. And then he sent them to Bombay, and they were living in among rats and snakes and mosquitoes, and people were cheating them left, right, and center. Thank you, Prabhupada, for cheating us. That cheating is very nice. Bali Maharaj is very happy to be cheated by Vamana Dev. The demons weren't happy to be cheated. They're foolish. But religion, cheating in the name of religion is not appreciated. There are so many people having illicit sex left, right, and center all over the place. But in Kerala, there's something been going on for some months now, how some priest is having sex with the nuns, and this and becomes a big thing. Someone in this colony here, they go off with someone's wife, then there'll be some fight and this and that, and it won't get in the newspaper, but it's in the national newspaper in India if the priest has sex with the nuns, because we expect the religious people to have ideal character. One among the reasons that I got turned off Christianity as a young teenager was seeing that the priests, they didn't seem to be very saintly. One of them I knew was a chain smoker. For him, doing the mass was a great austerity, because he had to go, if it was a short mass, maybe half an hour, or the full mass on Sunday, and he has to do four masses one after another on Sunday. And he can't, mass means something like the arati, a rough comparison. It's the service in the church, which they do with their shoes on, by the way. And they drink wine in it, but only a little wine, and they drink more wine outside. But it was a very great austerity for him to not smoke. So that was one example. And I saw the teachers at school, the ones who claimed to be Christian, they were no better than the others, and in some cases they were worse. So cheating is all around us, but if someone is cheating in the name of religion, or they're presenting themselves as religious, it's very distasteful. But then we see that some highly respected religious people, they're actually cheaters. There's the hugging guru female who hugs people, and they feel, ah, and then they go away and she hugs someone else. What's that? What did you say? Amma? Did I hear the word Amma? It's nonsense. It's got nothing to do with spiritual understanding. But people, oh, so nice. It's just cheating. And then you have the one, some, what's his name? Living Art, Sri Sri, something like that. The Fart of Living, something like that. Something like that. I can't remember exactly. It's so popular. Why so popular? It's just nonsense. There's no coherent teaching or philosophy. I saw once in some magazine, there was an interview, they asked him, what is your aim? He said, my aim is to put a smile on everyone's face. Nonsense. Yeah. What does that mean? His aim is to make everyone happy in this material world. But a sadhu is supposed to tell people there is no happiness in this material world. Tapo divyam putraka yena sattvang shudhyad yasmat brahma sokyam tu anantam. He's supposed to tell them to accept the austerities by which one can become purified and attain actual, eternal, transcendental bliss. But he's cheating them. If anyone has even a slightly awakened intelligence, they can understand that these people are cheating others. So how do they become so popular? Well, I guess people want to be cheated. These so-called gurus, they fulfill some need in people's lives to feel loved or to feel, have some good feeling in their hearts or whatever. Some feeling, I'm very spiritual. They take advantage. These cheaters, they take advantage of people's sentiments and cheat them in the name of religion. And the people must want to be cheated. Otherwise, how could you be sucked in by people like that? The people are suckers. They get sucked in. Otherwise, how could you accept such bogus people as being actually spiritual people? They're not giving any spiritual knowledge. They don't teach Bhagavad Gita as it is, or just something, whatever comes out of their mouth at the time. And they cut a profile. You know, you have a beard and you smile. But there's no real knowledge there. There's no knowledge from Shastra. Shabde parecha nishnatam brahmanyu pashamashrayam. The symptoms of a guru is that he should be completely immersed in the teachings of Shastra and has fully taken shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the system of guru-disciple succession. But cheating is going on. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur used to say, this world is the world of the cheaters and the cheated. And religion seems to be the biggest cheating. The Karl Marx famously said that religion is the opium of the people. It intoxicates. It gives an illusion. And religion, as it's practiced in the world, is like that. Jato kichu dharma name prithivite jato kichu dharma name chale bhagavata kahe taha paripurna chale. This is Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur's Bengali rendition of the dharma projita kaitava. Kicking out here in the Bhagavatam, Atra, kicking out here, cheating religion. So Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur renders this, that in the world, on this earth, to be specific. Everything that goes on in the name of religion, the Bhagavat, Srimad Bhagavatam, declares it to be absolutely cheating. But Hindus especially seem to think that if they're cheated in the name of religion, that's very good. They seem to be especially susceptible to, well, maybe not. Maybe the cheating in Hinduism is more bizarre or whatever, but so much cheating in the name of religion all over the world. So we're grateful to Srila Prabhupada that he didn't cheat us. And many of Srila Prabhupada's disciples from America and the West in general, that was a specific realization when they came to Prabhupada. Because at that time in the West, and especially in America, there were several gurus, quote-unquote gurus, making the rounds, picking up disciples, getting money, becoming famous. There was another smiley, dreamy-faced, with a long beard, one who promoted TM, Transcendental Meditation. You get a mantra for only $35, which was quite a lot of money in those days. Then there was the Guru Maharaj Ji, but people, they looked at them, they saw, many of Prabhupada, or at least some of Srila Prabhupada's disciples had been into these sects previously, but when they came to Prabhupada, they could understand, this is the real thing. It's not cheating. It's not just talking some mumbo-jumbo, making us feel good, on a sentimental, superficial platform, but giving us actual knowledge and the actual path of transcendence. The very fact that no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex is demanded if one is to be an initiated follower suggests that this is not cheating, especially in those times in America. Gambling and meat-eating among the hippies, most of Srila Prabhupada's followers or disciples came from the hippie background. Most of them didn't eat meat and they didn't gamble. But pretty much all of them, and that was a defining feature of hippiedom, taking intoxication and having free sex, as they called it. So we're very grateful to Srila Prabhupada that he didn't cheat us. But there was transcendental cheating also. Transcendental cheating. That just in the sense that, yeah, Prabhupada, he, in the beginning, he made it very easy. Well, it was never easy for the devotees, for most of them, to give up illicit sex and drugs. But Srila Prabhupada emphasized, in the beginning, he emphasized the joy of Krishna consciousness. He never stopped emphasizing that, but he also gradually introduced many rules and regulations. And he said that, he openly said that this was a preaching or a strategy that yena kena prakarena mana krishna nishayavayat. Saravish Vidhi Nisheda Ya Ete Yareva Kinkara. Prabhupada combined from two parts of shlokas from different shastras to give the idea that somehow or other someone should bring people to Krishna consciousness, and you introduce the rules and regulations later. There is in the Western world at the present time some idea that, well, Prabhupada was so good at making devotees when he didn't insist on rules and regulations, so let's go back to that, and then we can make devotees. But that's all right, but then you have to come to the point of bringing in the rules and regulations at some point also. Not that you just leave them, that, okay, keep everything loose and free, because that would have been cheating if Prabhupada had not introduced the rules and regulations later and just kept everything very loose. So this whole phenomenon of cheating, we can see it's in the spiritual world. And it's in the material world also. The material world, I quoted Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and saying this world is the world of the cheaters and the cheated, and saying that people want to be cheated and therefore they go to cheaters. But why would anyone want to be cheated? We don't like being cheated. We've all been cheated. Is it nice? No. Is it a pleasant experience? No. If we're cheated in some business transaction, we become angry. We may want to, you know, you can't get the money back. You may want to become very angry, and you may want to kill the person. You feel like that. You know, you can't do it. Sometimes people do it. Or cheating in marriage, and sometimes the one partner, if they find the other partner's cheating on them, they kill. They become very angry. They become very deeply hurt. But at another level, we do accept being cheated. For instance, one of the most famous and enduring advertisements, five words. Things go better with Coke. Coke means Coca-Cola. Things go better with Coke. And it was for years and years and years this was being advertised. And everyone knows that advertising is an attempt to induce you to spend your money and give it to someone else. And they'll give you something in return, but it's understood from the advertisement that they're hyping the product, that they're promising something more than you'll actually get if you buy that product. So the idea that by drinking Coke, and they show pictures of young people or men, young boys and girls, all laughing together, all happy, all very good looking, of course, and holding Coke bottles, Coca-Cola. So the promise is there that, well, you drink Coca-Cola and all of a sudden your ugly body is transformed into a beautiful body, and you have all these other beautiful people all around you, and it all comes with Coke. And it's nonsense, of course it's nonsense, but people agree to be cheated. The advertising works. People buy Coke. Otherwise, Coca-Cola, it's, as I remember years ago, it doesn't taste particularly nice, but they advertise it and people think, must be good. It's in the advertisement, you see. So many people, and they drink, and then your money's gone, and you didn't get anything except some sugar and chemicals. But then you see advertisement again. It's incessantly advertised. So people, that's a simple example of how people agree to be cheated and they don't mind because it's sense gratification. I gave the money and there was some, I got some sense gratification. Not as much as was advertised, but I got some sense gratification. So people are accustomed to and accept being cheated at some level. In this regard, I'm going to quote from where? Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, Samaveda, Atharvaveda. No, I'm going to quote from Noel Coward, who you haven't heard of. He was an English playwright. He's now maybe, who knows where in this vast universe. But he made a good point. He said, it's discouraging to think how many people are shocked by honesty and how few by deceit. In Hindi, as Prabhupada used to quote, Sach bole to mare lati, jhoot jagat mohai. If you speak the truth, you should be beaten with a stick. You tell all lies, people feel very nice. They like to be cheated like this. So the whole, what to speak of some Coke advertisement, the whole society is a society of cheaters and cheated, and we agree. Everyone is compact. Everyone is in the conspiracy theory. It's not a theory, it's a fact that we all encourage each other to take part in this massive fraud of thinking we're going to be happy in this material world. Just have to make a few little adjustments. If only the Kaveri water was allowed into Tamil Nadu, then the farmers in Tamil Nadu might think, if they gave us our fair share, then everything would be wonderful. The governments are cheating, the mass media are cheating, the educational system, work hard, you'll get a good job. Yeah, like so many other well-educated people standing on the side of the road selling cloths for wiping your windshield. Yeah, very good job. But, and they even have these colleges, they have an understanding with some companies that you hire our people at a very low rate, and we'll direct all our people to you. You can hire them at a low rate. So you hire them at 2,000 rupees a month and tell them after 1 year, after training, we'll give you more. Then after 1 year, you fire them and you take another bunch of 2,000 rupees a month from the same college. And so in this way, the employers are satisfied. They're getting slave labor. And the college, they say, you see, we've got 98% placements. Whew, fabulous. Immediate. Within 1 month of leaving, or even before leaving, 98% placement. But it's all a scam. The whole society is cheating. Maybe if we went to the moon, it might be better there. We already went to the moon. Really? What about money? Money, 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 money. What's going to happen? Now, people don't have money. They may have so much money, but there's no food. It may be that someone's... In a certain situation, someone may be prepared to give a lakh of rupees for one banana because they're so hungry. There's no food coming into the city. The food supply has stopped and they've got so much money, but what are you going to do with the money? And someone says, here, take this banana. How much? One lakh of rupees. Okay, I've got to eat something, right? Prabhupada saw through all of this. This cheating of the cheating money system. Prabhupada saw through it. Mayavad, biggest cheating. So many conspiracies. In India, people don't worry about these things too much because in the West, there's some idea of democracy and we all have the same rights. But I guess in India, people are just used to being dominated and cheated and all this kind of thing. But in the Western world, even up to the present day, this John F. Kennedy, supposed to be a very nice president, was assassinated. When was that? 1963, 1962? I think it was 1963. And it's still a big issue that actually it wasn't some lone gunman. It was done by the CIA, but there's no proof. And that's revealed that America and Britain invaded Iraq, having discovered that Iraq was developing and had developed weapons of mass destruction, which were very dangerous for the Western world. Therefore, they had to go and invade them. But it was found out it was just a complete hoax. There were no weapons of mass destruction. They wanted to go in there and grab the oil. It's open. It's not a secret. What can people do? The people of America and Britain were cheated into thinking, yeah, we have to support our government who's sending us soldiers to war in Iraq to protect us. Otherwise, we're going to be sitting sunbathing in our back garden one day, and then a big bomb is going to come from Iraq and blast us all to pieces. We'd better go and smash them first. But it was all a hoax. There were no weapons of mass destruction. 9/11. The plane flew into the top of the building, and then the whole building, huge building, and then it all collapsed. Boop, 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 boop. And even more surprising, another building, a plane didn't fly into it, and that also, that also collapsed. People want justice. We want justice. We need justice. Where's the justice in Kali Yuga? There's no. What is the justice? What is that? Nyaya, nyaya durbalyam. In Bhagavatam it said, if you don't have money, I can't remember the word exactly. That if you don't have money, you don't have justice. And to have justice means if you have enough money, you can pay your way. You can pay your way through anything. People are so much concerned about injustice, but it's just the nature of this world. There's injustice. Jivo jivasya jivanam. The strong dominate the weak. That's the nature of the world. Forget Karl Marx. He was talking about social injustice. Even Buddha, going back thousands of years. Buddha was against injustice. What are all this? Brahmins, they're lording it over others, and should all be fair and all should be the same. No caste system. Of course, Buddha, he also didn't give any status to women, so he wasn't doing so good in terms of absolute justice. But anyway, the point is that always in this world, the strong will dominate the weak. It's not cheating per se as that's bad, but the motive to exploit. If you mislead others for their own good, that kind of cheating is good. Just like the child doesn't want to take the medicine. The mother shows a sweet. Says, open your mouth, I'll give you a nice sweet. The child opens the mouth and with the other hand quickly she throws in the medicine which the child doesn't want to take. So she cheated the child. But persons who have higher knowledge can mislead others for their own good. That's the point. Whereas cheating on the material platform, it's for the sake of exploitation. Hare Krishna. I'll finish there for now. I'll speak some more about cheating tomorrow. Krishna willing. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.